Spoštovani mediji, spoštovani gostje, dobrodošli še na tiskovni konferenci ob obisku generalnega sekretarja Zveze NATO v Sloveniji, tukaj na Brdu pri Kranju. Za besedo uvodoma prosim predsednika vlade, gospoda Marjana Šarca.
Spoštovani predstavniki medijev, obveščam vas, da smo pravkar zaključili pogovore z generalnim sekretarjem NATO, gospodom Jensom Stoltenbergom. Pogovori so potekali v zelo konstruktivnem duhu. Seveda sva oba izrazila zavedanje, da je Slovenija že 15 let članica, skoraj 15 let članica Zveze NATO. In pred 15 leti, mogoče so nekateri do zdaj že to pozabili, pred 15 leti je takratna vlada pod vodstvom pokojnega dr. Drnovška vložila mnoge napore, veliko naporov za to, da smo postali člani Zveze NATO. To govorim zato, ker se danes mogoče v javnosti včasih ustvarja vtis, da je to neka nepotrebna organizacija in kot da bi nam moralo biti žal, da smo člani NATO, pa ni tako. Namreč, ko smo pred obiskom, seveda se je veliko govorilo o deljenju bremen, o solidarnosti, kar se seveda nanaša predvsem na tako imenovani odstotek bruto domačega proizvoda, ki ga bomo namenili za organizacijo. Moram tukaj poudariti, če smem podati eno primerjavo, tudi ko sedemo v avtomobil, se ne privežemo zaradi tega, da nas ne bi policist ustavil, ampak se privežemo zaradi nas samih in naše varnosti. In tako je tudi Zvezo NATO. Ne delajmo si utvar, da če smo dolgo živeli v nekem miru in pa da danes seveda ne grozi neka neposredna nevarnost vojaškega napada takšnega, kot so bili v preteklosti, pa smo še kako ranljivi, če ne bomo izpolnjevali svojih zavez, ki smo jih dali tej zvezi, prvič pred 15 leti, ko smo vstopili in seveda tudi v zadnjem času, tudi leta 2014 je bila dana taka zaveza in te zaveze niso kar tako. Če si član nekega kluba, jih je seveda treba izpolnjevati. Gospodu generalnemu sekretarju Stoltenbergu sem seveda razložil našo pot, ki jo nameravamo prehoditi do tistega zneska, ki je pričakovan od nas, da ga namenimo tej zvezi. Pogovorila sva se zelo iskreno, oba sva nanizala poglede, ki jih imava na to in se seveda strinjala, kot sem že prej dejal, da če si član nekega kluba, to pomeni, da ne moreš uživati samo beneficij oziroma koristi, ampak imaš poleg pravic tudi svoje dolžnosti. Slovenija je seveda zelo dejavna na področju misij in tako nameravamo, to politiko nameravamo ohraniti tudi v bodoče. Smo tudi seveda zelo seznanjeni s situacijo na Balkanu. Govorila sva tudi o tem. Tako da verjamem, da bomo v bodoče, da bo naša vlada v sodelovanju z Zvezo NATO tudi v bodoče izpolnjevala svoje dolžnosti in da bomo lahko rekli našemu odnosu sodelovanje, nikakor ne prisila, ampak vedno sodelovanje z zavedanjem, da varnost ni samoumevna, varnost bomo imeli v naši državi, če si bomo za njo prizadevali. Varnost se lahko tudi zelo hitro, varnostna situacija se lahko tudi zelo hitro spremeni, In tudi na to je treba računati. Nikoli ne smemo biti prepričani, da se ne more zgoditi nič in da smo otok sredi Evrope. To je na kratko to, o čemer sva govorila, seveda pa potem mogoče še s kakšnim vprašanjem kaj več. Hvala.
Hvala lepa predsedniku vlade. Za besedo sedaj prosim generalnega sekretarja Zveze NATO, gospoda Jensa Stoltenberga.
Prime Minister, first of all, thank you for your warm welcome for hosting me and my delegation here, and also congratulations on your appointment as Prime Minister of Slovenia. I very much look forward to working with you, but also with your foreign minister and your defense minister, two politicians I know very well from their previous positions. So I really appreciate to be here and to meet with all of you and to discuss the challenges we face as an alliance. But I also appreciate to come to Ljubljana because as a child I lived in Yugoslavia in the 60s and we came back many times in the 1970s, and I remember very well that we often went to Ljubljana. I already then loved the city, mostly because my father always gave me sladoled in Ljubljana. So that was, what should I say, the first time I started to like this city. This time I didn't get sladoled, but I got a very good lunch, so thank you also for the lunch. We are grateful for Slovenia's contributions to our shared security, to the NATO alliance. You contribute forces to our presence, our mission in Afghanistan, helping to fight terrorism and make sure that Afghanistan doesn't become a safe haven for international terrorists once again. You are present, you contribute forces to our mission in Kosovo, which is key to make sure that we keep a safe and secure environment in Kosovo. And we just saw the quality of your special operation forces with the display they had outside this building when we arrived, the high quality of your forces and especially your special operation forces. I'm also glad that you have contributed and been part of the enhanced forward presence of NATO troops in the Baltics with your presence in Latvia. And I also welcome you to the big NATO exercise in Norway later on in October, Trident Juncture in Norway, which will be the biggest NATO exercise in many, many years, showing that NATO is adapting, showing that NATO is responding to a more demanding and difficult security environment. We had a very good discussion during lunch, and we addressed how NATO is adapting to a new and more challenging security environment, and how we are both strengthening our collective defense at home in Europe, but at the same time projecting stability beyond our borders through our missions and operations in the fight against terrorism, but also to help partners in Europe like Ukraine, like Georgia, and other partners in Europe, which are important for us because when our neighbors are more stable, we are more secure. We also mentioned the importance of NATO-EU cooperation. We welcome the strengthened cooperation between NATO and the European Union. And I also welcome EU efforts on defense, as long as they are complementing and strengthening the European pillar within NATO and not duplicating or competing with NATO. So done in the right way, I really believe that stronger EU efforts on defense can improve burden sharing within the alliance, and therefore I welcome also the close cooperation between our two organizations. But of course, burden sharing is about capabilities, it's about contributions, it's about NATO-EU cooperation, but it's also about spending and investing in defense. And NATO allies reduced defense spending after the end of the Cold War when tensions went down. I was then politician in Norway, and I was also responsible for reducing defense spending in Norway. But when we are reducing defense spending when tensions are going down, we have to be able to increase defense spending when tensions are going up, as they are now. Therefore, I welcome that you so clearly have stated that you will increase the defense investments of Slovenia. Slovenia is currently spending just about 1% of GDP on defense, so I encourage you to do more to increase. And as you said, this is in our security interest. It's something we need to make sure that we are safe, and therefore I expect all allies, also including Slovenia, to make good on the promise we made together back in 2014 to stop the cuts and start to increase defense spending. I look very much forward to working with you and to address many different challenges, including how NATO can help to address the challenges we see in the southeast of Europe, working with our members there. We have a new member, Montenegro. We have welcomed the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia as our 30th member, if they can implement the name agreement with Greece. And we also work with partners like, for instance, Serbia, to make sure that NATO continues to contribute to stability in this part of Europe. So once again, thank you so much for receiving me.
Pa gospodu Stoltenbergu. Beseda je vaša, tako generalni sekretar Zveze NATO kot predsednik vlade sta na voljo za vaša vprašanja. Ob tem prosimo za vašo predstavitev oziroma navedbo, s katere medijske hiše prihajate. Izvolite, beseda je vaša.
Špela Novak, Radio Slovenija. Gospod premier, ali bo torej glede na vaše besede prej Slovenija zdaj hitreje, kot naj bi doslej povečevala te izdatke za obrambo? In komentar tudi generalnega sekretarja Stoltenberga na to, tudi ker s tem tudi druge članice NATO namreč ne izpolnjujejo zavez. Drugo vprašanje za gospoda Stoltenberga je pa v zvezi s podnebnimi spremembami. Včerajšnje poročilo mednarodnega panela nas opozarja, da moramo resno ukrepati. Glede na to, da so podnebne spremembe danes verjetno najbolj resna grožnja varnosti, ali ne bi bilo smiselno, da se tudi tisti izdatki, ki jih namenjamo za podnebne spremembe, štejejo kot izdatki za varnost oziroma obrambo? Hvala.
Hvala za vaše vprašanje. Naj začnem na koncu. Rekli ste, da tudi drugi ne izpolnjujejo. Veste, to je tako, kot otrok pride iz šole, pa reče, sej so tudi drugi cvek pisali, ne? Kot sem povedal že prej, mi moramo predvsem povečati izdatke za obrambno-varnostni sistem, ne toliko zaradi NATO samega, to sem poudaril in še enkrat poudarjam, ampak zaradi nas samih. Mi vemo, da moramo že sami zase za to, da bomo država, na katero bomo lahko tudi ponosni, da bomo sami zadostili tem kriterijem. Dinamika povečevanja proračuna bo seveda sledila tako, kot je začrtana. Mi smo seveda zapisali, kam želimo priti. Kar nekaj članic seveda že namenja tudi 2% BDP-ja. Na to seveda pri nas čez noč ni računati, to je jasno. Se bomo pa zelo prizadevali, da pridemo po začrtani poti tja vsaj do 1,5 v nekaj letih, če bo seveda situacija to dopuščala.
First on defense spending, I think we have to understand that when we made the commitment in 2014 to invest more, we didn't promise to spend 2% next year. What we said was that we should stop the cuts after years of declining defense budget. We promised to stop that trend. Second, we promised to start to increase in real terms. And thirdly, we promised to move towards spending 2% of GDP within a decade, meaning within 2024. The good news is that all allies have stopped the cuts. All allies have started to increase in real terms. And the majority of allies have put forward plans on how to reach 2% by 2024. When we made the pledge, it was only three allies that spent 2% of GDP on defense. This year, we expect eight allies to spend 2% of GDP on defense. So we are really making progress. I welcome also the fact that Slovenia has at least stopped the cuts and started to increase. But we have to remember that the average now in NATO, it varies, so the, how much different allies spend. But the average, if we exclude United States, is around 1.5%, a bit above 1.5%. Slovenia is around 1%, and the difference between 1.5 and 1, that's 50%. So that's a significant difference. As I said, I encourage Slovenia to do more, and I am encouraged by the strong messages from the Prime Minister and from the Foreign and Defence Minister. As I said, this is something we need to do because it's in our security interests with a more assertive Russia and with all the turmoil, the violence we see in the Middle East, fighting Daesh, ISIL, and also to protect our cyber networks and address new threats and challenges. Then you asked about climate change. Well, for me, there is no way we can choose between either addressing our security challenges or addressing climate change. We just need to do both. NATO has recognized that climate change is a security challenge, and that's also the reason why we have expressed a concern about climate change, because it can lead to, you know, more migration, more instability. But we cannot say that we either spend on addressing climate change or defense. We just need to do both. And let me also add that in my previous capacity, I worked with climate change as Prime Minister of Norway. And then I think we have to remember that to invest in new technologies, to invest in clean production, is the technology and the industry of the future. So it's profitable. It's possible to earn money if you invest in clean and environmentally friendly technology. On top of that, we have to remember that the principle we have agreed to in the UN and in other forums is that we need to live by the principle polluter pay, or polluters pay principle, meaning that it's not the state budgets that are going to pay for the investments in green technology. It's the industries, it's you and me, and one of the most effective tools we have in the fight against climate change is carbon pricing, and that actually generates revenue to states' budgets, which can be used then to increase defense spending. So this is a win-win for all of us.
Hvala lepa. Še kako vprašanje morda?
Marta Razboršek, Televizija Slovenija. Mene pa zanima, sta se kaj pogovarjala tudi o Luki Koper, oziroma ali jo bo Zveza NATO izkoristila. Napovedan pa je tudi danes pred parlamentom protest proti tovrstnemu sodelovanju, pa me zanima vaš komentar.
Ja, v zvezi z Luko Koper je spet prišlo v javnosti do nekih dezinformacij, kako bo to ne vem kakšna baza in ne vem kaj. Mislim, da gre tukaj bolj za to, ne mislim, prepričan sem, da mora Slovenija izkoristiti svojo dobro geostrateško lego, ki jo ima na splošno. In seveda, ker NATO ni samo vojaška organizacija, ampak je tudi politična organizacija. To pa pomeni, da seveda ustvarja tudi sodelovanje in Slovenija ima zelo dobro geostrateško lego in jo lahko tudi izkoristi v prihodnje, če bomo to le želeli. In tukaj vidim tudi veliko priložnosti, nikakor pa ne gre, da bo to kar baza, ne vem, sem slišal celo primerjave z Avijanom in ne vem kaj vse, to seveda ne drži. Tako da, kot sem pa povedal, smo člani Zveze NATO in v zadnjem času je treba seveda povedati odkrito, da v Sloveniji je kar nekaj tistih, ki mislijo, da NATO ni organizacija, kateri bi smeli pripadati, ampak sam vedno pogledam v zgodovino in vedno pogledam na zadnjih 70 let organizacije NATO oziroma Zveze NATO in ta organizacija je uspešna. Zagotovo in tudi pred 15 leti, še enkrat poudarjam, ne mečimo stran prizadevanj naših predhodnikov, spomnimo se, kako smo takrat si močno prizadevali in tudi na referendumu bili uspešni. Te proteste, ki so pa danes napovedani ali pa že potekajo, pa seveda razumem v duhu demokracije. Sej kakšna demokracija pa bi bili, če ljudje ne bi protestirali. Vedno je bilo tako in vedno bo. Seveda pa pričakujem, da se bo poslušalo vedno moč argumentov, ne pa argument moči. To je pa dejstvo.
Hvala lepa. Še kakšno vprašanje? Mr. Stoltenberg, is it possible for you to comment? Lahko še vi komentirate?
I didn't get the question, to be honest.
Lahko ponovite vprašanje?
Se upravičujem, no, se pravi interes NATO za Luko Koper. Transport.
Well, that's something we leave to our military authorities to address and to assess what kind of infrastructure and what kind of infrastructure we are interested in. So that, I will leave that to our military authorities to comment on that.
Okay. Hvala lepa. Še kakšno vprašanje?
Lepo zdrav, Jure Kost z Delo. Mr. Stoltenberg, according to some indicators, public support for NATO membership in Slovenia has significantly dropped since 2004. Are you concerned by this? You recently said in an interview that political debate over NATO should not be feared but welcomed. Does that rule apply to all member states, including Slovenia? In še vprašanje za gospoda Šarca. Smo premi, ali je slovensko članstvo v NATO še legitimno, če ga sodeč po javnomnenjskih anketah podpira manj kot polovica državljanov. Malo prej ste rekli, da je v Sloveniji kar nekaj tistih, ki menijo, da je to organizacija, ki ji ne bi radi pripadali. Nekateri iz, tudi v parlamentu sedijo nekateri taki, stranka Levica podpira vašo vlado in jaz mislim, da je to tudi njeno mnenje, kako komentirate to.
NATO is an alliance of 29 democracies, and in democracies there are always different opinions about many issues, and sometimes also about NATO, and that just reflects the fact that we are democratic societies. So we have seen in different countries, including my own Norway, that there is discussion about NATO, and also some parties, some political movements want the country to leave NATO. But that has always been the case for decades. And I think that history has shown us that despite those different opinions, despite those different views within NATO allies and between NATO allies, we have always been able to gather and to mobilize the necessary support from all allies and to unite around our core task to protect and defend each other. So the fact that there is debate, the fact that there is discussion, is something I welcome because I believe in open democratic processes. We should not be afraid of that. In totalitarian regimes, they are afraid of debate. In totalitarian regimes, they are hysterical about different views. I actually believe it is a sign of strength, not weakness, that we have open debates in our countries, including about NATO. Having said that, I know that the general trend now is actually increased support for NATO. It varies between different NATO allies, but the support for NATO has increased because people see that we live in a more dangerous world. We see a much more assertive Russia using violence against a neighbor, Ukraine, Georgia, a Russia which is responsible for attempts to meddle in our democratic processes, undermine our democratic institutions, and we saw last week how Russian intelligence officers tried to hack the International Organization for Prohibition of Chemical Weapons, an important international institution which is responsible for the convention that prohibits chemical weapons. So I think that not only the use of military force, but also what we call hybrid tactics, cyber, highlights the importance of having a strong NATO, defending not only our territories, but also our cyber networks and our democratic institutions. And then we have terrorism, we have ISIL, we have instability, and all that also requires a strong NATO. So the Prime Minister mentioned during the lunch that he is a firefighter, and that firefighters are not always so very popular, except for when there are fires. And that's exactly when we need them. And that's also the case with NATO. When there is threats and challenges, then we need a strong NATO. And now there are more threats and challenges, and then the support for NATO has increased.
Thank you. Še predsednik, prosim.
Ja, kar se tiče javno mnenjske podpore, naj povem, da tudi v Veliki Britaniji je bilo javno mnenje in na referendumu izraženo, da mora priti do Brexita. No, danes mislim, da vidimo, da temu ni tako, ker so pač nekatere stranke, ki so na referendumu prepričevale v ljudi, da je dobro oditi, ima zaradi tega danes težave cela Evropska unija. To, tako da javno mnenje je tudi recimo reklo, da jaz ne bom sestavil vlade. Ne, tako da javno mnenje je zelo, bom rekel, taka neoprijemljiva včasih kategorija. Kot je generalni sekretar povedal, v demokracijah so seveda različna mnenja in če levica ne bi imela drugačnega mnenja, potem bi bili mi mogoče v isti stranki danes. Pa nismo. Mi smo različne stranke in imamo tudi različna mnenja. Temu se reče demokracija in zato smo se tudi borili leta, oziroma so se borili leta 90 in seveda 91 z osamosvojitvijo. In veste, tudi javno mnenje pravi, da nima smisla hoditi na volitve, zato se tudi udeležba na volitvah ustrajno zmanjšuje. Sam sem se, odkar sem star 18, pa do danes udeležil vseh volitev in vseh referendumov, zato ker čutim, da je to moja dolžnost. In tako moramo gledati tudi tukaj, ne samo pravice, ampak tudi dolžnosti. In če smo sprejeli članstvo v zvezi NATO, ne moremo takrat, ko nam v tej zvezi mogoče kaj ni všeč, reči, da bomo šli ven. Ampak sprašujem vse tiste NATO skeptike in euroskeptike, kaj je alternativa? Kakšna alternativa nam pa ostane? To so bili mogoče razmisleki, ki so bili takrat na mestu, danes niso več. In bolj kot da se sprašujemo, ali mi moramo ostati v NATO, bi bilo na mestu, kaj bomo mi storili, da bo NATO kot organizacija še izboljšan, da se bo naš glas v NATO slišal in enako velja tudi za Evropsko unijo. Sej sam jemljem ti dve integraciji nekako zapovezani in kot je generalni sekretar pravilno povedal, to je zveza demokraciji. Mi pripadamo zahodni demokraciji, in upam, da ji bomo še dolgo pripadali, Kar se pa tiče različnih mnenj, kot sem rekel, je pa to popolnoma legitimno in tam, kjer vsi mislijo enako, tam ponavadi kmalu nihče več nič ne misli. Tako da mislim, da je na nas naloga, na politiki, da pač z argumenti prepričujemo tiste, ki mogoče mislijo, da ta organizacija nima mesta na svetu, da je drugače, kot smo rekli. Ne? Tudi, kot je povedal generalni sekretar, gasilci v Sloveniji so bili še pred parimi leti, naj mi ne bo, sem sam gasilec, si upam to reči, smo bili pijanci, smo bili dobri samo za veselice organizirati, smo bili ne vem kaj, no, ko je prišel žled, pa druge naravne nesreče, pa poplave, je pa ta isto javno mnenje v 80-ih ali nekaj odstotkih povedalo, da so gasilci heroji, kar naenkrat. Ne? In s tem se močno strinjam. Seveda, z odsotnostjo nekih takih dogodkov se zmanjšuje tudi zavedanje o pomembnosti neke organizacije. In verjamem, da bo ta organizacija v bodoče delovala v tej smeri, da bo Slovenija lahko rekla, da ji ni žal, da je v tej organizaciji. Pa še enkrat za konec, kaj je alternativa? Ne?
Hvala lepa obema za vsa pojasnila. S tem je tiskovna konferenca zaključena. Hvala lepa tudi vam.